Hey everybody, it's Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And you're listening to The Wheat and the Chaff, and we've got basically an episode made up of, I know this will be a shock to some folks, but some people who are quite bonkers. I from an academic level, bonkers.
I don't think it's just from an academic level, I think they're bonkers all the way throughout.
So, it's been a while since we've had a chance to sit down, because life and various, vacations and various things, so we know that we kind of left a two-parter hanging when we were talking about purity culture, and so we want to touch on that because, the joy of doing a little research is you find some things, and so we've been able to find some really interesting stuff, helpful resources, as it were, to keep you on your dating game to a long-lasting relationship. And so we've got that. I have unfortunately been down my own rabbit hole, which has nothing to do with purity culture, but has to do with the same group that forms into purity culture. So even though it's not purity culture necessarily, the dynamics that are at play are consistently the same. Because I have been down the joyful YouTube rabbit hole of flat earthers.
Let me just, before Travis sings this, if you haven't watched the Netflix documentary on flat earthers, I don't know.
Beyond the Curve, right?
Beyond the curve,
I think it's called.
I don't know what hole you've been living in, because you haven't experienced life until you have
the pandemic. The pandemic was very clear. You were to watch Tiger King.
Yes.
You were to watch a handful of old rewatch shows that you needed to catch up on.
Yep.
And then you were to hit Beyond the Curve.
Yes, yes.
These were just a few token things that had to be done during the pandemic.
If nothing else, watch Beyond the Curve just for how it ends.
Right.
Because how it ends,
you know what he needed?
Is amazing.
You know what he needed? A dating app. That documentary, if it could have simply ended with a dating app that helps separate you out of the usual Christian cesspool of nominal dating apps, then that would have been complete.
Well, share your flat earth stuff. The rabbit hole you went into, share that first, and then we'll get into dating app that everyone needs.
So I've gotten hooked. So I did watch Beyond the Curve. I loved it because I was fascinated with the whole mentality. If you're not familiar with it, the entire documentary is a look into the flat earth culture, which I have to admit, until that moment, did not know was a thing.
It's a fairly large thing, too.
I think I had always just kind of thought, there are some people out there who are quite unaware and very ignorant who think the earth is flat. And I figured they would number in the handfuls. I was not aware that there are full-on legit conventions where tons of people pour into areas and sit down, and then they talk about their flat earth experiences in the same kind of way that people talk about their alien abduction experiences, right? It's a very similar vibe.
Maybe they should combine those two.
It would be amazing if they could.
Yeah.
What I thought was humorous about it was, coming from a church kind of culture, thinking as kind of a pastoral perspective, the religion with its multiple denominations, right? Because you have the flat earthers, and they all agree that the earth is flat, and that somehow, people who believe in the ball or the globe are all part of this massive conspiracy to keep them from both realizing the truth or sharing the truth, right? So you have this built-in weird everything is repressing us. Everything's persecuting us. But then within the flat earth community, you have all these sub-communities because you have the flat earth community that thinks that the earth is has a dome over it to keep atmosphere in. You have the ones that think that there's an ice wall that rings it. You have ones that believe in the hot. They actually say it might be a globe, but it's a hollow one. And if we could just dig in enough, we would find, no joke, Middle Earth, where all the ancient civilizations have burrowed into in order to keep functioning. So they believe that the signs of things that we see from cultures gone by and civilizations gone by, that those have not actually ceased. They've just simply burrowed deeper in, and this is just simply the stuff that they've left behind.
If we're going to burrow down into Middle Earth, they better not wake up Sauron again. That's all I got to say.
I wear no rings as I go down.
You better hope that nobody's wearing a ring.
Unless it's, of course, The One Ring. But, you know, like, there's all these different breakups and views, and they have good times arguing together. So, you know, occasionally, you know, as is the algorithm for this kind of stuff, you watch something on Netflix, then suddenly things start popping up going like, hey, you apparently are interested in Flat Earth. And I first, like, kind of fought it. I was like, no, I'm really not. But then I started getting these YouTube videos of a guy named Simon Dan. And Simon Dan is a Flat Earth debunker.
Okay.
Right, and he's this English guy who sits there, and he's obviously some kind of a scientist or engineer. He knows what he's talking about, and he debunks a lot of these videos. The problem with watching Simon Dan is he has Tinfoil Tuesdays and Flat Earth Fridays, amazing, where he takes on conspiracies here, and he takes specifically on Flat Earth here. They're brilliant. They're wonderful. I highly recommend them. The problem is that he uses the videos that he's debunking in his thing. And the more and more that I've watched, the more and more of these videos are not just simply crazy people from over here or nutters from over here. They're evangelicals armed with their KJV and their papyrus font. And they're ready to go. Papyrus font. And they're ready to go, you know, make these cases. And it's like oftentimes it's, you know, so it's guys like Kent Hovind, who we've, I think, talked a little bit about at one point. But there's a whole slew of them. And it's all tied together, right? Like they're flat earth and they're, you know, the end is near. They're all flat earthers. They're all end timers. They're all into purity culture. You know, they're all into KJV only. They're all really, really weird folks, frankly. But anyway, it's a fascinating thing to delve into as you start realizing, like, the amount of people who are like, the Earth is 6,000 years old, not because you have the one group that thinks it's because they can count the genealogy from Adam until the end of the Old Testament, you know, basically up to Jesus, yeah. And then they do math from Jesus till now, and they're like, 6,000!
Ignoring the fact that they skip generations.
Right.
Father also meant grandfather or great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather.
My favorite one is the guy who takes it and he's like, well, you know, there are 6 days of creation mentioned in Genesis, but Psalms lets us know that each day is like 1,000 days to the Lord. So it's 6,000 years because the day, and he's like, he's got this whole elaborate breakdown of how, you know, it's not that it was 1,000 years per moment of creation. No. It's just simply like that was a sign to let us know. And I guess at some point we just stopped counting math because, you know, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, 300 years from now, at some point his math will break down, but I guess it'll be very dead. And so he won't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like, you know, you end up with a lot of these like kind of folks who are just yanking scriptures out of the Bible, slamming them down, building entire things. My favorite, of course, is Kent Hovind because you've got a guy who I believe was in prison for embezzlement and a few other major crimes, some other felonies. But he's come back as a legit Bible scholar, right up there with Jim Baker.
Of course, it must take going to prison for you to become enlightened
of
the true scriptures.
I got to be honest. We may start a sub podcast from this podcast simply called The Daily Baker.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Because Jim's been busy.
Yes.
Jim's been very busy.
I think he gets crazier as he talks. I think he does. Because every new thing I see of him, I'm like, that's worse than what you said before.
I'm going to have to find the one. Let's switch to purity culture since we're going to have some fun. This might be a fun one for the next couple episodes. Who knows? But while you find, I'm going to have to, Jim just had someone on. Who had an interesting view, and I'll come back to it.
Okay,
but you know, in light of all this, we end up with this. We find these overlapping themes of like weird fundamentalism, weird legalism, incredibly naive reading of scripture.
Yeah. So I found. So again, my wife always just makes fun of me for Twitter scrolling, but you know what? I'm working. I'm researching. For this podcast, for you, our audience.
That's right. We do this like for you.
Two people. I don't know who's listening to us. But so I stumbled upon this today as I was scrolling through Twitter, you know, learning about, you know, and rejoicing in the fact that my football team finally has a quarterback for the first time in I don't know how long, decades. And also,
I would remind you that you've said that a few years ago, too.
I know. This one's a legitimate one, though.
This one means it.
So
this time it'll work.
So I stumbled upon this Dominion Dating, and I was like, this is interesting, especially with the word Dominion in it. And I'm just like, I wonder if I'm going to, if I click on this, is the FBI going to show up at my door? So Dominion Dating is, right now they're in their crowd sourcing stage. They want to launch by August 1st of this year. And let me just read why Dominion Dating. Are you or someone you love tired of being sidelined by singleness? For those of you who may be listening to us that are single, more power to you. We applaud you. So please don't think this is our views of singleness. Proverbs 13:12 tell us that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I don't think Solomon was thinking about dating when he was writing those words, but would you welcome a straightforward path to marriage that bypasses the nominally Christian cesspool of conventional dating sites? Cesspool. We know firsthand how again, single people that are listening, these are not our views. We know firsthand how devastating a prolonged season of singleness can be. Devastating. My wife's aunt is visiting from Alaska. She's a missionary. She's been single her whole life, and she's doing okay for herself.
Although she's devastated on the sidelines.
Maybe I'll ask her later.
Dipping her toes in.
When I go back to the house, I'll ask her. Our founder spent more than 10 agonizing years navigating the uncharted waters of modern online dating. And they do have a picture of the founder, and he looks like he's stoned. So I'm just going to say that. But so this is called Dominion Dating, and they believe that the pursuing marriage locally through your church and personal network should come first. However, with so many churches and Christians confused on biblical marriage and sexuality, it is increasingly necessary for many singles to look beyond their local context for a godly spouse. Conventional, quote-unquote, Christian dating sites fail to deliver.
What are the conventional Christian dating sites?
There's like Plenty of Fish. There's
Plenty of Fish! I'm sorry. I apologize.
I actually know. He knows somebody who found their spouse on there. There are.
I mean, no disrespect if you've ever gone Plenty of Fishing. Sorry about that. I wasn't expecting that. Plenty of Fish. Okay, carry on.
They fail to deliver.
I thought you were going to just drop out the eHarmony because it's kind of the, you know.
Plenty of Fish?
Oh, Plenty of Fish.
Fail to deliver as these sites are swamped with culturally conformed, quote-unquote, Christianity. In fact, many of these sites market casual dating as an experience. Dominion Dating is dramatically different. Our mission is to recover the Dominion mandate. Now,
this sounds like a cult.
It does. And the guy that found it looks like a leader.
It sounds like, what was that? Nexium.
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like the dude, and then he had his two handmaidens who would like bring in other ladies, but they would all then brand themselves as, you know, part of their deal. And it was just got really weird, and then everybody went to prison.
So they have a screening process. So if you guys are really considering this and you're worried, are they going to screen my future spouse? They do have a screening process, and it requires a verified pastoral reference from a doctrinally sound church. We'll give you a reference if you want. We'll write one up. We catch the catfish and keep the keepers. They have a dating manual that will walk you through and help you. They have a monthly newsletter, podcast, and supplemental discipleship curriculum.
Wow.
To make sure that you stay on the straight and narrow. And so, yeah, so let me go back to the Dominion mandate. Because when I read this earlier, Travis and I both were like, what is a Dominion mandate? It comes from Genesis 1:28 when God says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And it also says, and take dominion over it.
Which is interesting because it is usually the scripture that is kind of held up by evangelical anti-climate change people, right? So people who, not joking, but people who really get into like, there is no such thing as climate change or there is no global warming. People who basically say it does not matter. I remember having a conversation years ago with someone who flat out told me, it is our job. It is our job to basically wipe the resources off the earth. Like if we haven't used every single one of them to its fullest and use them until they are extinct or dried up, then we haven't done our job of dominion. Like, I mean, now this was pretty hardcore, right? This is a little out there. But I mean, this was literally like, you know, a movement that he was part of. It's like, this is our God-given, it's not even just simply our right, it was our order, right? Like, we are to go out, and whatever we see, we are to use it till its fullest, and if it dries up, whatever, we move on and we consume the next thing. So, I mean, it is a scripture that oftentimes has these interesting justifications when it comes to, you know, resources, when it comes to how we value the earth, how we value, you know, animals, how we value water, how we value, you know, fossil fuels, all this stuff. Usually this one gets thrown up here. I have never heard it in regards to how we find and relate to our spouses.
But let me share a little bit more, because I know you're just at the edge of your seat.
I am. I literally
so
am.
So there is a members agreement.
I mean, I've already got plenty of fish up on my phone.
Yes.
I'm ready to swim.
Man, hope Becky's not listening. but they obviously affirm male headship as normative in the spheres of family, church, civil governance, and society at large, believing that God has endowed men with real, I don't know if I'd use the word endowed, limited authority
to govern
for the good of mankind and the glory of God. We affirm God's normative plan for women to exercise dominion in the home as homemaker and helpmate in glad submission to a husband.
So, wife, behold your sink.
Behold.
Take it well and have good dominion over it.
We recognize
dear God.
But they do recognize the necessity at times for women to seek employment outside the home but reject careerism.
I wonder if those women are allowed to wear pants. Women.
Probably not.
Probably not. I feel like this
not even
guy
skiing.
I feel like this guy and a few of our other IFB folks who frankly we need to track back up on. It's been a while since we've pulled an IFB preacher up.
I haven't seen the no pants guy in a while. We affirm that God's word in our own bodies, in parentheses, says sex drive. Because our bodies are, that's all we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us that marriage should not be unduly postponed for modern pursuits such as educational attainment or life experience. We view dating as an intentional path towards marriage and reject the cultural idea of casual dating. So, ladies, take dominion over your home. Don't even think about getting a job outside the home. But if you're gonna sign up for this, I'd probably ask them in your communication with them as you're signing up, maybe ask them if they'll help you pay your bills.
I got a question for you.
That one income family.
Legit question. Because this one I've run into this one doing pastoral counseling, doing premarital counseling. I find it comes up a lot. Do you think there are two ways to view relationships? Do you think that God has one specific person planned out for you for your life, and that is the person you are meant to marry and live the rest of your life with?
You know, I used to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I got older, I began to realize that that's probably not the case.
Okay.
And let me just say that I think God... So sometimes I think that we kind of mix predestination in with, you know, free will. And we kind of combine the two together. And we say, well, yes, I have a free will to choose God or not, but God has already chosen my spouse. And I think it's more God's...
Once you're on the God train, you got to lock down with everything that God has willed for you.
So I think we spend too much time trying to figure out God's perfect will for our lives. Mm. Here's God's will for our lives. To love him and to love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Jesus summed it up. He's like, what are the two greatest commandments? Here they are. Love your God, and the second one's like it, love your neighbor. And Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples. He didn't give them like, hey, make sure you wait till I tell you exactly my will for you as an individual, you know, forever. And so when it comes to a spouse, the thing God sees who we're going to be with,
and even if it's multiple people, because he says that, you know, he knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that things are not going to work out. Just things are not perfect. Not that he condones divorce or anything like that. It says in his word he doesn't, but he knows that things happen. And so I don't think that God has, like, preordained, you will marry this person, and you will marry this person, and you will marry this person. I think he knows, like, you're going down this path, and you guys will meet and be together, and I will bless that, and you know, I'll use that for my glory and use that for my good. So I see it more that way. I don't know if that's really the same, but I think it's a little bit different, because I don't think God has necessarily said, I am handpicking this person just for you. But right. It's cool how God works things out when he's, you know, you look back and go, man, if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't have gone here, and we wouldn't have met.
Right. And we say this both as you know, happily married dudes. So, yeah. You know, not to each other necessarily, but you know what I mean. No. We're on a podcast here. We'll clarify that. You have been married. How long have you been married?
It will be 17 years this year.
Okay. And I am at 22.
You guys are like old.
We are old.
Actually, I'm older than both of you.
So obviously, you didn't take dominion of your dating early enough.
I suffered agonizingly suffered, in my singleness.
You suffered in your singleness. Steeping in the cesspool of Christian marital apping or whatever.
I found there was not plenty of fish.
My fish were all sardines. They were not keepers. you know, I think that's the thing. I agree with you, right? Like, I think this is when something I've definitely kind of evolved and shifted in my thinking. I think growing up, it was kind of like all right, there's the one, right? And that's partially because the church that I grew up in had that similar mentality.
Kind of released this purity culture that people
right. Grew up in. Purity culture was all about finding the one, and then, you know, it was also played out by, you know, obviously, like, just movies, narratives always have the, you know, the love at first sight, or, you know, movies where you're trying to find that one special person, right? So, you know, it's something that's kind of fun and reinforced in our culture. I don't think most people, I don't think, take it overly seriously. Christians too, if they're from that particular culture. But that's definitely something where I've shifted, where it's like, you know, I am grateful for all of the things that led me to my wife, you know, who I married. I'm grateful for everything that brought us to these. Because, same. You know, we kind of sit back and have these moments of like, wow, all these little decisions that if we had made one thing different, our paths just simply would never have crossed.
Yeah, never.
Right? And so, you know, I'm very grateful for that. At the same time, I've come to the realization that, you know, to buy into this particular culture where you need to sit there and stress that every single person you meet is the one.
Could be the one.
Which, frankly, the problem with that is they need to be the one as you define them right now.
Yeah.
Right? Which means that it gives them very little room for growth. It gives them very little room for emotional or spiritual. Puts a lot of pressure on the other person. Yeah. Like, and I think it leads to a lot of the disappointment that we see, because you constantly then meet a person and go, oh, they're this, but they're missing this, and this.
Yeah.
And rather than being like, well, if we have, let's say, a casual dating relationship where we just get to know each other, we get to start spending time together, and we get to even start building some life together, where now maybe these are things that are growth points, or they're goals, or they're part of even where our lives kind of just coming into step allows this new, you know, new season to happen. It just doesn't have any room for that, right? Like, if you go down this kind of dominion dating, you have to walk around looking for someone who already checks all of your boxes. And then you also have to believe that person, if they say no to you, is also in some way God saying no to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Like, because once you start getting into that kind of like high level sovereignty, where every interaction is a directly willed by God moment, every single person that you meet is a directly divine appointment. And I do believe that there are moments like that, but not necessarily that every single one is that, right? So I don't know. It's a really interesting cultural dynamic that comes into play, where you start sitting back and going like, wow, you know, this isn't actually just about dating. This is a whole understanding of how God works. And it's incredibly, incredibly, in my opinion, restrictive and very, I don't know, it doesn't give you a lot of room to kind of like color outside the lines, right? Yeah. Like, this is the way your life has to go. If it doesn't, and frankly, there's another part of me that goes, if you don't ever find the one, maybe God just hates you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, isn't that what you would start to think? Is like, maybe I'm screwed up. Maybe God didn't make someone for me because I'm the mess. I'm the one who's got the problems. And maybe I'm the one who's worthless and not valuable.
And I think that's...
Like, that's a heck of a mind job.
I think that's why, like, you have singles that are upset with the church, upset with Christians, because they make singles feel out of place, guilty. It's your fault. Why are you still single?
Right.
You know, what's wrong with you? And maybe that is what God... You know, if we want to use the words God has, that's maybe what God wants for them. You know, because like you listen to the words of Jesus when he talks about marriage, and he says there are some who are eunuchs, and he kind of defines what a eunuch, different right. stages of eunuchs. Some are eunuchs not by their choice,
right?
Some are,
yeah.
And he's not saying that they can't reproduce themselves or anything like that. It's just that they know and they're comfortable with, and they've accepted the fact that, you know what, I want to be single. I just want to pursue what God has for me, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. and I just want to do this on my own, not necessarily a nomad who's not connected with a church family or anything like that, but just not connected with somebody like Paul.
Right.
Paul was not married.
Right.
And Paul talked about marriage, but he said, you know, his preference was single. He's like, that was his preference. But he did not say that as a mandate. He did not say, like, no, this is how it should be. And nor did he say that to the married people. He's like, you know, that's the way life should be, not as single people. He didn't say that either. He honored both.
Right.
And he said, this is what God has. I think we've used that. I think this kind of comes back to that Jeremiah 29:11 verse. For I know
the plans, plans I have for you.
And we so...
A lot of weight on that one, don't we though?
Man, we take that verse and we individualize it so much.
Yeah.
And it was never meant to be to an individual. It was meant to be to a people.
Correct.
And it was meant to point to the hope that is found in the Messiah, because this was given in the context of destruction.
Right.
And exile. Right. Like, this has nothing to do with you graduating college. This has nothing to do with you getting married. This has nothing to do...
Quit putting it on a plaque and thinking it was for you.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you. You know?
And my favorite is like when you go to a bathroom and it just sits there, like, you know, next to the toilet. And you're like, what an odd scripture to put in here.
Right. Know the plans
I have. Right. Know the plans I have for you. And I'm like... Awkward. But and I only say it because I actually had friends who, I've had several friends who thought that was a great place for that particular passage to go.
That's weird.
We all have those friends where they have a very inspirational home. Mm-hmm. And it's filled with a lot of like quotes and quips and scriptures that were obviously, you know, found at like Home Goods.
Yeah.
And a lot of Thomas Kincaid. And you just walk in and you know that the minute you're in here, someone's Bible is going to be in one of those really, really puffy covers.
Oh, absolutely.
With their name engraved on
probably
it.
Probably with flowers on it.
Yeah, yeah. So and it's gonna be very
inspirational. You know what's something interesting about that verse, too, is in the context it's found in, the verses above that, God tells his people, go into exile.
Right?
go build homes, pray for the welfare of the city.
I was about to say, pray for the peace of the city.
Pray for the peace of the city.
Go do these normal things. Because don't worry.
Go make life there.
Right.
And so basically God was telling his people, I want you to go where you don't want to go.
Well,
I want you to go intermingle with people you think are terrible.
Ultimately, to some degree, he's saying, I'm not coming for you right now.
Yeah, but I will.
I mean, that's literally what he's saying. Yeah, go do these things. Quit doing nothing, looking up at the sky, twiddling your fingers, and hoping for me to come rescue. I'm not going to. I'm not coming for a while.
This is.
I have a plan.
Yes.
I have a hope. There's going to be a great future. But not today. For today. Just go start your garden.
Go make your bed.
Yeah.
And lie in it in exile.
Yeah. It's a fascinating, in full context, fascinating piece of scripture. When you just yank that one out that you want to run with and be like, this is why.
And the way we've interpreted it is actually probably the complete opposite of what it was intended to be originally.
Yeah. 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 It's fascinating. But anyway, that, you know, I think the reality is we could probably do lots of episodes on purity culture and the things that come from it. But I think that at some point we just have to be like, well, that was a thing that happened.
That was a thing that happened.
And then let's try hard not to let that happen again.
Now, not to say that, you know, we shouldn't seek purity in our pursuit of Christ and things like that. But the way purity culture has turned it out to be It's almost like it's made purity culture a god in itself.
Again, when you can put purity culture and people who kind of are proponents of purity culture and flat earthers side by side and realize that the paradigms that they work within, the principles, the dynamics, the philosophies are the same.
The foundation is the same.
Right? You know what I mean? Like all those stuff, different like details. it's two different, you know, kind of like areas that they're sitting in, but the stuff that kind of makes them tick is the same. That's where you can sit back and be like, this is probably not a good place to be.
You know what would be an interesting convention to go to? A convention of purity culture, flat earthers, alien abductions, and end times conspiracy theories. That would be the most entertaining convention, I think, ever.
Okay, so two things I'll leave you on. I completely agree. I don't know what we have to do to make that happen.
I think we should organize
it. I feel like it's possibly like one of our... It might be one of our stretch goals.
I think so. I think this would be a long-term goal, and I think we should be there as like... as though we're watching a sports competition and commentate.
Just commentate on what's happening. Commentate. Like, Jim Baker. That was the one. Jim Baker. Because there's a place for Jim in one of these pods.
He should be a keynote speaker.
He should be a keynote speaker. Jim had just recently had on his show The Cure for COVID, which was Silver Soul, S-O-L. And you
I don't even know what that is.
Drink/inject this into your system. Because, of course, the vaccines can't be trusted.
The vaccine can't be trusted.
Silver Soul can be. It's legit because it's like made naturally from herbs and weeds and whatnot that are all scripturally based.
Weeds or weed?
So I feel like we need to get back into some IFB preachers, some Jim Baker. The people are wondering, what kind of crazy nonsense are these guys up to? And we are here to deliver that for you. If we all don't fall into hollow Middle Earth at this point.
As long as we don't wake up Sauron, I'm all right. I'm all good.
All right. That's going to be our show for today. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you later.
See ya.